We continue our learning of the Nishmas Tavi ben Menachem Rishim, Chaim Yaakov ben Pinchas Elio. We are in Adios, Perek Beis, Mishnah Vav. Our Mishnah will address the issue of squeezing fruit on Shabbos. This is under the category of Dush. Dush is one of the third Aron Malachos, which is threshing, which is removing the grain from the outer husk. So similarly, Mefarik, which is the extracting, which is a Toldo, a subcategory of Dush, is where you, milking a cow is included in Mefarik, or squeezing a grain. Grape and olive is included in Mefarik. So that's an Issur d'Oraisa, what we call Schita. But there is also an Issur d'Rabbanan, which is known as Mashkin Shezava, which literally means the liquids that has oozed out, seeped out on its own. And the Chachamim said that even juice that oozes out on its own on Shabbos is Issur d'Rabbanan to use on that day, out of a concern that you may end up squeezing more and doing an Issur d'Oraisa. So the Mishnah says like this, Shloshu Devarim Amar Rabbi Yishmael V'lo Hodol Rabbi Akiva. What are these three things Rabbi Yishmael said Rabbi Akiva disagreed with? Hashum, which is garlic, Vahaboser, which are unripe grapes, Vahamalilos, which is unripe grain, Sheriskon Mibeod Yom, which a person crushed while it was still day before Shabbos. So garlic, unripe grapes, and unripe grain, before it got dark on Friday, he crushed them. And then he put weights on the produce that had already been crushed so that the whatever juice that was coming out would be fully extracted on Shabbos. He did this for any one of these three things. So the Mishnah here says, Sherabbi Yishmael Omer Yigmor Mishetechshach. Rabbi Yishmael permits, he's lenient here, and he allows the juice to be extracted to continue with the weights leaning on them on Shabbos until the juice has been fully extracted. And he's able to use the juice that day. It's not a problem of Mashkin Shezavu, who, as we mentioned in the introduction. And the reason for that is like this. Why do we not allow Mashkin Shezavu? Because we're afraid a person is going to violate the Isser of Mefarik. You see, if I use the juice now that would oozed out of the grape that's sitting in the bowl, I may end up squeezing the grape to get more juice. The reason he allows it is because even if, let's say, a person would take the crushed garlic, the unripe grapes, or the unripe grain, and squeeze it even further on Shabbos, that would not be an Issur d'Oraisa. Why not? Why is that not like the classic case of where you have a grape where I squeeze a grape or an olive? Because here, because there are weights on it anyway, the juice is going to ooze out of the crushed fruit on its own. So the fact that you would squeeze it out yourself, that would only squeeze it out a little bit more, or accelerate it a little bit, but that's about it. So that's why that wouldn't be an Issur d'Oraisa anyway, even if you would squeeze it. And therefore, we don't have to make the rabbinic prohibition of Mashkin Shezavu would not apply to the juice that oozes out, and therefore that is Rabbi Yishmael's leniency. Rabbi Akiva Omer Lo Yigmor. No, you're not allowed. You're not permitted literally to finish this after it gets dark, which means, yes, you set this whole system up on Friday, but to drink on that Shabbos the juice that came out after it got dark already, that's not allowed, because Rabbi Akiva believes there's no difference. Mashkin Shezavu applies in such a case, in this case as well. It sounds like, though, even though you, according to Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva says lo yigmor, you're not permitted to use the juice. There is some discussion, according to Rabbi Yishmael's opinion. Rabbi Yishmael says you can use the juice. What does that mean regarding the squeezing? It sounds like we do allow the weights to continue squeezing the juice on Shabbos, and some say you can even be even more directly involved in the squeezing, since the weights are on there as well. You can even be involved. So that's a debate. But either way, the issue with the juice, Rabbi Yishmael says it's permitted, and Rabbi Akiva says, because there's no concern of Mashkin Shezavu, because even if you would squeeze it yourself, it would be only an Issur d'Rabbanan, and Rabbi, because it's being extracted on its own, and Rabbi Akiva disagrees, says that you're not permitted to, a person is not permitted to use that juice, the Mashkin Shezavu Gezera still applies. Perek Beis Mishnah Zayin, Shlosha Devarim Amru Lefnei Rabbi Akiva, Shnayim Mishum Rabbi Eliezer, Ve'echa Mishum Rabbi Yehoshua. So the three things that were said in front of Rabbi Akiva, two in the name of Rabbi Eliezer and one in the name of Rabbi Yeshua. Now, bear in mind that in the previous Mishnah meant there were three things Rabbi Shmuel had said, and Rabbi Akiva didn't disagree. It wasn't really three things. There were three different, it was all part of the same problem of mefarik, of extracting and squeezing. But there were just three different types. There was the garlic, the unripe grapes, and the unripe grain. But in our Mishnah, it says three things. There are really three separate halachos. Two, as we said, in the name Rabbi Eliezer, one in the name of Yeshua, that were said in front of Rabbi Akiva. So number one was Yotzeis Shnaim Yishum Rabbi Eliezer. What are the two halachas that were said in the name of Rabbi Eliezer? Number one is Yotzeis Isha Be'ir Shel Zohav. This is an issue of Shabbos. There is an Isser, obviously, of carrying on Shabbos, but if you're wearing a tachshit, you're wearing an ornament, you're wearing jewelry, you're wearing clothing, that's not considered carrying. What if you're wearing something that maybe we're afraid you're going to take off? There's certain pieces of jewelry we're afraid women may take off to show their friend. So, and then carry a dalet amos b'shus harabim. So though that type of jewelry is not allowed on Shabbos. What is the story with this, what we call the Ir Shel Zahav, the city of gold? This is some type of crown, which had, according to some, the city of Yerushalayim was engraved upon it, and we wouldn't wear that on her head. So is this something we have to be concerned with, that the woman is going to take off? Rabbi Eliezer says she's allowed to wear it out on Shabbos. Apparently, we're not afraid she's going to take it off in the street to show someone, and that's because it's very expensive. So only wealthy women, only distinguished women, women who are very chashuvos would wear it, and women who are very chashuv women would not take off their jewelry to show other people. It's not beneath their dignity to do that. So since we're not afraid that she's going to do so, and these are the women who wear this, she can walk out with this on Shabbos. That doesn't mean that a woman who, Isha Chashuva, can wear any piece of jewelry, a jewelry that other women wear, which they, other regular women, non-chashuvos, would take off. No, that even, we wouldn't say, well, she's an Isha Chashuva, she can wear any piece of jewelry, because she will never take a piece of jewelry off to show someone else. That we don't say. We say lo plug. We don't distinguish between one woman and another woman regarding certain pieces of jewelry. But when it comes to this Ir Shel Zahav, that's only worn by chashuva women, so there we can say that we're not afraid she's going to take it off. These are the women who normally wear them, and therefore she can go out with it on Shabbos. That's what Rabbi Eliezer had said. And number two that was said in the name of Rabbi Eliezer was Umafriche Yonim Psulim Laedus. We had this in Sanhedrin in the third parak. Those who were involved with pigeons, pigeon racing, the Bar Tanura quotes you both opinions from Sanhedrin, what that means. Number one is, he says, Min mimine haschok, it's like betting and taktim, yonos choli yonos yetem l'chol kach v'kach. I'll give you this amount of money if you're at pigeon racing, if your Yona beats mine. Pir Shachir, another explanation, Shemigadil Yona Milumedis Lahavi Yonim Lebes Ba'aleha. You're raising doves which are able to lure other doves. V'yeshbaze Gezel M'shem Darkei Shalom. And now it's going to be Gezel Drabanan Gezel because of Darkei Shalom. You're not really stealing other pigeons that happen to be in someone else's backyard that flew in there, are not really his. But nonetheless, to keep the peace, you don't want to lure those pigeons into your backyard. So Mafricha Yonim, but people are Pasul Eidus Midrabban, and obviously someone who's a Gazlan is Pasul Eidus Midaraisa. But we had a list there in the third parak of Sanhedrin, people who are Mesachik Bekuvia, dice throwers, Mafricha Yonim, all were on that list. So these are people who are Pasul Eidus Midrabban, and apparently this was not everyone's opinion. So this is in the name of Eliezer that Mafricha Yonim indeed are Pasul Eidus. And the echad mishum Rabbi Yehoshua. And what other halacha that was said in front of Rabbi Akiva was in the name of Rabbi Yehoshua, and that is hasheretz b'fi chulda. If there is a sheretz, let's say a dead mouse, one of the eight rodents, which are an avatum, a high level of tamar, in the mouth of a chulda of a weasel, umahalechas, and it's walking al gabi kikaroshel truma on top of loaves of bread of truma, and obviously that sheretz, a dead sheretz, would be metame the truma. So, but we're not sure. Suffolk naga, suffolk lo naga. We have a suffolk whether the chulda touched, whether the sheretz that was in the mouth of the chulda touched the kikaros, the loaves of truma. So with the halach is sveik o tor, have the right to be leaned and assume that it's going to be tor and the loaves of truma did not become tameh. So what is this about? So generally, we mentioned this briefly in one of the other Mishnayos, that we have a case of Sufek Tumah is treated in Rishus HaRabim normally as lenient, Sveiko Tahor, but in Rishus HaYachid, Sveiko is Tameh. And here, it sounds like even in Rishus HaYachid, we're going to be lenient and say Sveiko Tahor. Why should that be? And those laws are learned from the laws of Sota, what's considered Rishus HaRabim, Rishus HaYachid. So what is, why should it be here, Sveiko Tahor? So Bar Tanura says like this. He says, Mishum de Tuma Overesi. It is Tuma in transit. It's moving. Ve'eino nacha b'makom. It's not sitting in place. He'll call Sveiko Tahor v'afilu b'shoseyacha. That's the difference when it comes to where Tuma is at rest. So then we would follow the regular rules. Safek Tuma b'shoseyacha. We're going to be Machmir Sveiko Tame. But if it's Tuma Overes, So then it's moving, it's in transit, so then we have the right to be lean. So since the chulda is no problem with the chulda, it's alive, so it's not mitame anything. But the sheretz potentially would be mitame. Since we don't know, but it's in transit, it's moving, so therefore we have the right to be lean even in a Rosh Hashanah. There is another reason explaining why we have the right to be lenient. We said that the rules of Tuma follows the laws of Sota. So one of those laws is that Tuma, in that case, that Tuma is speaking about infidelity, but that's also a type of Tuma. The Torah speaks calls that Tuma. So when it comes to Sota, so Rishus Hayachid, obviously they were in private, one with the other. So that's where we have to assume that something may have happened. So the same thing when it comes to other types of tumas, we suffik tumah Rishus Hayachid, we have to be strict. But that's all based on Halacha Mishmi Sinai, that we have to follow Sota. That's not only when it comes to the place where it is, the location, but number two, the doubt has to be with respect to something that has intelligence, that could be questioned whether he or she became Tameh or not. So that's true when it comes to a person. You're not sure, this person is not sure of whether he became Tameh or not. He walked down this path. Was there a dead body on the path or not? He's not sure. Maybe he walked down the path without a dead body. So it depends where you are, Svei. If it's Rishus HaRabim, Svei Kartor, Rishus HaRechot, Svei Kotameh. But that's a person. Did a sheretz touch a person? But here, what do we want to know? We want to know what the weasel did, what the chulda did. So you can't ask the chulda. The chulda doesn't know the answer to that question. So it's a chulda carrying a sheretz, a dead sheretz. Did it touch the on top of the loaves of bread? Who are you going to ask? The loaves of bread? You can ask the weasel. You can't ask anybody. And since it doesn't follow the regular rules of Sota, so this suffik tumah, we therefore have the right to be lenient.